And it's a joy to be in church on Mother's Day. As I mentioned today, all of you know that my mom went to heaven a couple years ago, almost next month, I guess it will be. And so I was privileged to have a wonderful mother all of my life until 2 years ago. And then to see my sweet wife be a great mother to my children is a wonderful privilege. And I realize that, again, everybody doesn't have that privilege, but I know that many of you do, and I challenge you to just be. Bible says, in everything, give thanks. And we're going to give thanks for some of the things that we don't necessarily always love. We certainly ought to give thanks for the ones that those, as one person put it, those slow and easy ones across the plate that God throws to us. We ought to certainly hit those and thank Him for it. I'm glad to be saved, and I'm glad to have a wonderful wife, a sweet mother that's in heaven, and I'm glad that I pastor this wonderful church. And when I say choir, thank you for singing tonight. I thought this morning was wonderful, and then I came in tonight, and that's what you call some singing. It was good. And appreciate that, and it was great, and I challenge you, if you're thinking about getting in the choir, you're contemplating, or you have a voice, and you should, I challenge you to do that. Talk to Brother Dan, and it's a wonderful blessing. I believe it's ministering to more people than you ever know by the choir, and so thank God for that. Well, once you look in your Bibles at Galatians, we're going to get into it again, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15 and trust that this message is a blessing as we continue on through it, and then we'll head out and get to the house, and you can have ice cream, popcorn, whatever you want. You say, well, that keeps me up, but it doesn't bother me because I'm not going to be at your house. So you just get whatever you want. Drink coffee, drink Coke, drink Mountain Dew for all I care. Just do what you need to do, but we'll have a good time here in this for a little bit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, the Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. And there's a big cry in Christianity today for liberty. Well, you can't tell me how to live. There's liberty in doing that. And there is. Oh, my, there is. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And that's what we see many people doing. They're taking their liberty so far, they say, well, I can just do whatever I want. And it depends on what you mean by that. If you mean that I can do anything I want and Jesus still love me, you sure can. If you mean I can do anything I want and Jesus will be pleased with what I'm doing, then no way, Jose. So use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's an interesting thing in this verse. The contrast that's given is, but by love serve one another. And so that's the opposite of what's being spoke about directly before that, using liberty for an occasion of the flesh. So really the way that we live and behave ourselves around people is one of the ways that we show whether we're serving them or not. We think of serving them. You come with a towel over your arm and say, what can I get for you? Like a waiter. And that's certainly one way to serve somebody. But by living in the way you ought to before God in front of them and in reference to them is also a way we serve one another, because you see the contrast whenever God says, but by love do this. So that's obviously the opposite of what's first given in the verse, and that is, you've been called to liberty, yes, but don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. So instead of using it as an occasion of the flesh, just do whatever the flesh desires, and you know that flesh of yours hasn't desired anything good for a long, long time, wherever. So he says, don't use that liberty as an occasion of the flesh. But instead of that, you could put that in there, but in contrast that, or instead of that, opposite of that is, serve, but by love, serve one another. So we as Christians, we've got to get it figured out that a lot of the way that I live in reference to you indicates how much I'm trying to serve the Lord. Because we somehow get this idea that we're the Lone Ranger, that I can live however I want to, and my wife's walk with the Lord is not affected by what I do. We have this Lone Ranger mentality. So, well, I can live however I want. My kids, they'll have to decide what they want, but I'm going to do this for me because it fits and suits me. Well, we're not individuals in that way. We're all interconnected because I'm serving one another. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm part of this church, and I love it, and I help you, and you help me. Oftentimes, we are able to help one another. So that means I live for you, and you live for me, not in the way we live for Christ. I don't mean it like that, but we're able to overlap and help one another and encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, pray one for another, all those things. So for me to have the idea that I'm all concerned about John is an unbiblical idea. because it truly is upon my list of duties, but by love, serve one another. I'm supposed to be the servant of everybody around here, and as are we all. For all the law, verse 14, is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that love, serving one another, is summed up, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this word to you: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But then God gives the opposite: but if you bite and devour, you do that to one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of the other. I mean, if you're going to act like animals and you're just going to bite and snip and nip at each other, don't be consumed, or don't be surprised, when you get bit your own self. So I want to preach for just a little while through this passage. Trust will be a blessing as we look at it, and not necessarily a Mother's Day sermon. It just happens to be where we're moving through as we go through this book of Galatians. Father, give us these next moments as the word gets in us and we get in it. And I pray that you'd bless it to us. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would be blessed afterwards to be changed. Why else would we come? Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, there's a big word in Christian circles, has been for a long time, and that word is liberty. The Bible is very clear. We have liberty to do so many things. You have liberty to do this, that, and the other. We're not under bondage where you have to live a certain way or else, well, you'll be cast off again and not saved. The Bible talks about that liberty that you have, and that liberty in Christ means because you are free in Christ, you can do those things. But can I just say it like this? Many of those things aren't prudent to do. They're not proper to do. You could take out in your sign, you're an American, you can take out in your yard and put a sign out there. We've got some for Vacation Bible School, but you could throw that one out and you could put some sign out in the yard that says, I think people that wear plaid shirts look silly. Well, why would you? But you could. He might have the plaid shirt affiliation of your society, of your community, might come and challenge you on that, but you could do it. I have freedom to do it. But just because I have freedom doesn't mean I should. You could go up to somebody and you notice that they've been changing some ways that they've been doing something. You notice that, as I made mention of maybe this morning or whenever, some men's hair leaving them. You could say, you know, it looks like you're balder than they were last time I saw you. You might want to duck down because he might be in a bad mood when you tell him that, and he might take a swing at you. He said, well, you've got liberty to say that. I got liberty to do this. Well, neither one should do one or the other, but I'm just saying that we have freedoms. We have the ability to do stuff in this nation that we shouldn't do. They argue back and forth whether there should or shouldn't be laws that keeps people from desecrating the American flag. But I've never needed a law not to desecrate the American flag. I love this nation. I don't want to desecrate the flag that stands for this nation. And so the same thing, though, is when we look at the liberties that we have, yes. If you're saying, Pastor, can I do this as a Christian? Well, I have to say, well, what do you mean by that? Do you mean, can you do that and us not kick you out of this church? That's probably not bad enough for us to kick you out. Do you mean, can you do that and still be considered a nice guy? No, you've passed the line. After you say that, do that, think, go there, you will not be considered a nice guy. It depends on what you mean by that. And if you're saying, well, I need to know if I can do this, can I as a Christian do this? And I say, do you mean, will Jesus still love you after you do it? Yes, he'll still love you. He loved you before you did it. He loved you before you got saved. That's the only way you can love him, is because he first loved us. So am I saying, will you not be loved by the Lord anymore after you do it? Then no, yes, you can do it and still be loved by the Lord. But will that be opposite of what he wants you to do? And the answer again is yes. And so I want to look at it here. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And so I want you to look at number one, if I could give you a few points. We've got a freedom from the law. We've got a freedom from the law. We're called unto liberty. I could be unkind. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. And I could go up to anybody in this church and say, I don't like the way you did something. I don't like that car you drive. Boy, it makes you, it's too quiet, it's too loud, it's too bright, it's too dull. You smoke, the car smokes when you come on. Please don't do that. Well, it doesn't smoke enough. It's a Tesla. And it doesn't make any emissions. You could say something unkind, but why would I? And I believe as we get closer to the Lord and we get closer to the church family as God wants us to, and then we have closest of church of saved people outside this church as well, as you get further into those people that Jesus loves, then I find myself wanting to be kinder to them because they love somebody that I love dearly. One pastor I know writes signs his letters to say, to a friend who's a good friend to a friend of mine. And when I see the people of God, then I feel a great responsibility to live in, as a pastor, in a certain way towards you, around you, for you, because I feel indebted. The Apostle Paul said he was debtor to the Jew and to the Greek. And so we see here, though, there's this freedom from the law. So let's get it set out first. We have freedom. But let me give you this illustration on Mother's Day. Is your mother going to disown you if you get mad and blow your top and say something unkind to her? Well, she's mom. She's lived through almost everything. She's going to forgive you. But when you got a mom that loves you so much, and especially now, most of you in this room, you're of an age that you're not a kid. You're not bound by, you're not controlled by those emotions. You're not going to want to say those unkinds of things to your mom. Curtis Hudson was a great hero of mine. He's in heaven now, but he used to tell a story. He was hearing somebody preach about that verse. You got to hate father and mother when Jesus said that. If a man doesn't do that, then he cannot be my disciple. He thought, oh boy. He says, think about my mother. I think he said, I got a green bean lodged up in my nose one time. It's amazing. Who knows how boys do what they do? But he was a kid and got a green bean lodged up in his nose, and his mom helped him get all that straightened out. However you get that out, I guess blow real hard. But he said, how could I hate a lady that did that for me? And you know the Bible's not talking about hate father and mother, because the Bible never contradicts itself. It says honor your father and mother. And just in case you're wondering, that's talking about if the love that you have for the Lord ought to make the rest of it look like hate, because you ought to love him so supremely. But that little story talking about the way you treat your own mother. Oh, I'd love to have my mother around and be able to tell her some kind things. I certainly wouldn't say anything unkind to her if the Lord gave me another little chance to be with her. And I realized that mom would be fine with you saying unkind things to her. She would be all right with you blowing up. She's faced everything. She brought you into this world. She's going to be fine with you saying those things. But why on earth would you want to? That's the thing about liberty. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, but also doesn't mean you ought to want to. So if you're asking, Pastor, can I still do this? Sometimes you think young people say, well, what's wrong with? And they'll fill in the blank with something. What's wrong with this music? Or what's wrong with these clothes? Or what's wrong with this? I usually turn around and say, well, what's right with it? If you got to ask, there's probably a reason. But somebody will say, well, can I and still be God, still love me? Yes, we've got that freedom. Even though we've got that freedom, the Bible says we've got freedom from the law, but it goes on to say that we're supposed to be servants one of another at the end. Where do we get the idea that I can help God's people or I don't have to? Because the Bible says I'm a servant. That means I just do what you need. Now, obviously, there are certain people that you can't lend yourself out completely because they'll take you up on it and they'll have you doing their job all the time, all the day long. You can't go do your own job where you're supposed to work. I get that. But we are servants one of another, the Bible says. Yes, we've got freedom from the law, but we see also that we're servants one of the other. And so my salvation is not dependent on whether I'm nice or not to you, that's for sure. But that doesn't get me off the hook for not being or for being unkind. Again, just because I can doesn't mean I should. The book of Jude talks about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or evil. And so we see here that you've got freedom from the law, yes, but we're still, even though we have that freedom, we're still supposed to be servants one to another. Now, I want you to look in verse number 14, then we'll get to 15, and we're going to see the two ways that God gives here that are contrasted. In verse number 14, we're going to look at the heavenly way. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians chapter 2 talks about bearing one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:32, one of my favorite verses, forgiving one another as God, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So God lays out how we ought to live by the power of the Spirit of God. That's down in verse number 22. Look down there if you would. We'll get to it in a couple weeks probably. But look, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those that goes down through. If we live in the Spirit, verse number 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so God outlines how we should live down there in verses 22 through 25, but that's the heavenly way that God talks about. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Why would God tell us to love somebody else like we love us? Because there's one person that I take really good care of. When he needs to sleep, I usually let him. If I can't let him right away, I compensate and I let him nap later. If he gets up too early and didn't have enough time between when he went to bed and when he got up, then I tell him, John, you did okay. You did good. You made it through. Now you nap today. I take care of him. When he gets hungry, I feed him. When he gets mad, I say, you tried. You as nice as long as you could be. She deserved it anyways. I let him off the hook. You know, there's something called self-preservation. Now, I know there are certain people that have a problem with self-image, and I get that. I'm not certainly making light of that. But typically, we take care of us. God doesn't tell you in the Bible, make sure you feed yourself every day. Why? Because you'll find a way to do that. And so the Scripture tells us instead, using that as a baseline of how people get treated well, make sure you treat somebody else like you want to be treated. It's fulfilled in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I was listening to a documentary type thing about George Washington. One historian was telling what Washington said. He said, it's imperative for citizens to have a belief in the Bible. That way they were more likely to stay civil one toward another. What he was saying was they're more likely to love their neighbor as theirself when they hear the Bible teaches that, because just like it's built into us, it's ingrained in us to take care of us, it's also ingrained in us to take care of us at the cost of other people. Well, somebody's going to have to suffer, and I don't want it to be me. That's our fleshly way. But the heavenly way is counteracted. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so it goes on to say after that, in verse number 15, it gives the earthly way. And so as we look at the earthly way, in verse number 15, it says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed. This is just good old common horse sense. We say it today, the person that lives by the sword dies by the sword, although none of us are probably going to do either one of those, but that saying means you may get what you've been giving. We say another way, what goes around comes around. We say that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. And so if you're reaping those biting and devouring, the Bible says, don't be surprised if you're consumed with one of those. Let me tell you, as your pastor, one of the things that I'm greatly concerned about this church, not because it's this church, I don't see any problems in here in this fashion, but it could happen. Great churches have. I go to pastors' meetings sometimes, and oftentimes the subjects of those pastors' meetings, not necessarily the messages, but the talking that pastors do around the back walls and pastors pouring out their heart to another person or another pastor, is that they will talk about fighting in the church, and this group is against this group, and this one's really rising up against some good person over here, and there's cliques and there's groups, and there's these people won't really associate with those people, and those people won't really associate with those ones because they do this and they do the other. And as far as I know, unless I'm just oblivious, and that could be, but as far as I know, we don't have that in our church. I think that anybody in this room could go out with it to eat with another person after church and not be sitting there seething under their breath, "Oh, I just can't believe I'm having to do this." And that's the way church ought to be, the way that we are experiencing the blessings of God right now. And so the scriptures are very clear to say, yes, you got to live and serve one another. Why? Because that's the liberty says, yeah, you don't have to do all this, but the love of God constrains us so that we live and love one another as we love ourselves. But the contrast is given in that earthly way is there. But be careful, as if God's pointing his finger at us, be careful. You start gossiping about everybody, don't be surprised when they start talking about you. You start talking about how so-and-so, this, that, or the other. Don't be surprised when that comes back around to you. I pray as our church experiences the blessings of God that we would have that kindness one toward another. Because look back at verse number 15 again, if you will, and see if this doesn't unfortunately describe some of the churches that some of you have been in and others of us have heard about. But if you bite and devour one another, of course, that's not talking about physically biting and devouring, but it's used as speaking symbolically. If you do that one to another, take heed, be careful, pay attention, that ye be not consumed or be destroyed one of another. Well, let's just take a little survey. Many of you have been in churches for years. How many of you have seen some churches that would be truly described by that verse right there? We've seen that. And can I say it just like the scripture says, brethren, these things ought not to be. If we'd apply the scripture like the scripture says to apply it, if we've got a fault with a brother, that we go to that brother, if God won't let us get over it with just us and God, then we ought to go to that brother and tell him or her or sister that there's some issue we have. And that fixes most of it. But you know what my flesh likes to do? Instead of telling Brother Dan I don't like something about him, I want to go tell four other people that I haven't told him, but I want to go tell them. But we got to be careful. And we got to follow the scriptures. They're not bite and devour. There's been some ungodly stuff going on in churches. Sad. And may you pray with me that it doesn't happen here, that the Lord would keep us in harmony, and may it not be said of the wonderful Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We see that earthly way that's put forth here. And so as we take it all the way back to the beginning of this passage, yep, you can do most anything you want, I guess. You've got liberty. But then when I consider my brothers and sisters in Christ, my liberty's big and wide. But just because I can doesn't mean I should. So what I could do is big and wide. What I should do is a lot more small, a lot smaller. Because I've got to be concerned, and so do you, about children in our church. I've got to be concerned about brothers and sisters in our church. I've got to be concerned about how somebody would see something that I would do and say. And I feel bad sometimes even after I'm joking from around people at the church because I'm afraid maybe they didn't understand that I was being whimsical or trying to be jovial. Because I don't want people to misunderstand and think that we're shooting daggers at people. As a brother and sisters in Christ, we can do a lot of stuff. But my brethren and sisters, I've found that there's a lot of stuff, even though I could, I shouldn't. And I don't miss it. It's not like I sit there wishing one, oh, I wish I could talk about him behind his back so much. I don't find myself doing that. I find myself happy, I do. This is personally speaking. I find myself happy that I've got several hundred people that get to work and watch and serve and love and pray and lift and encourage and be there and cry with and pray for. I love that. So it's certainly not too much for us to or God to ask of us, since we do have all those benefits, for us to live in verse 14 where it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, now that's not only in the church. Of course, that's outside the church as well. Inside the church, that produces harmony. Outside the church, love thy neighbor as thyself. That gives opportunities to be a witness for Christ. It's the same command both places. God says, love your neighbor as yourself inside the church, but he says, love them outside the church as well. Inside, it makes us easy to get along with. It makes it harmony, makes us kind of relax and say, wow, it's good to be here around with all my friends in the Lord. But outside the church gives me a witnessing opportunity when I don't run off and run roughshod over some neighbor because he ran a vehicle across the backyard or something and rutted it up. You don't jump on him. You love your neighbor as yourself. How would I want people to react toward me if I'd done that? So we get outside and inside, same command given to both. So we have that freedom. I want you to think of just one other part about in verse number 13, that by love serve one another. You understand what servants are, right? We understand that servants serving one another is really getting down low beneath somebody. The greatest illustration we've ever had was Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet on those dusty roads that they would have been walking. That would have been no pleasant job. But our servant Savior did it for his disciples. You remember him. Peter said, don't do it to mine, don't do it to mine. I ain't going to let you do that. He said, well, then you can't be part of me. He said, well, don't stop there. And so we understand that Jesus, in love, served one another. So if I could give this one last just thought bubble for you. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, creator of all the world, do whatever he wants, except what he'd already restricted himself to by his character. God, we understand with the fair, and we have those booths that talk about the few things that God can't do. Lie. The things he can't do is what he's already restricted by his own character. But here you've got the all-powerful God of the universe. Could do whatever he wanted. The Bible says could have called 10 legions of angels, could have done this, could have done the other. He could have done all. But what did he do? He restricted himself for you and for me. And so there's one small way that I can be like Christ, and I could restrict myself for somebody else. And so I know the way that all of us feel. When we lay somebody out and we let the words fly, man, don't we feel good for a few seconds. And I can tell you from experience, when you hold those things back and the Holy Spirit does help you hold them in, you'd like to let it go. You don't always feel great immediately. I don't know if you're like me, that I may be the only one in this, but when I do hold my tongue and I don't say something I want to, but I know I shouldn't, I would think that as soon as I had that great restraint, I thought that the Lord would just shower me with this good feeling. But you know what the feeling I have is? I should have done it. I should have let him have it. But later, those feelings come, but regardless of what feelings have or we don't have, Jesus restricted himself of many things for the love of you and me. And now we get the wonderful privilege of restricting ourselves from some things we could say, could do, could be engaged in. You've been called into liberty? Sure you have. But use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And then we have the heavenly and the earthly way contrasted. Martin Luther, the old reformer, said this: before God, they be free from the curse of the law, from sin, and from death through Christ's love. So he's hard sometimes, those old guys are sometimes, you got to really think about it. So before God, they're free from the curse of the law, free from sin, and free from death through Christ's love. They're free, he said. But in one of his commentaries said this, but as touching the body of Christ, they are servants and must serve one another through charity. So he said, yeah, your salvation made you free. But then as touching the body of Christ that they're involved in, that they're connected to, now, even though they were free in Christ, now they're servants, and they're bound together by charity one of another. And that's really a pretty good way to sum it up. As I go back to that illustration about mom, is your mom going to disown you because you get mad and lose your temper and say, Mom, I just don't want to do that, and you spout off something? She's going to forgive you. She's mom. But because she is mom, especially as you grow and develop as a person and your restraint is better as you get older, then those times rarely, if ever, should come up. You had the freedom, her relationship, she's not going to disown you. You had the freedom, but that love ought to keep it from happening in your life to her. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that we've got a little different view of things tonight. Sometimes, Lord, we just want the facts. Can I or can't I? Well, Lord, it's just not that simple all the time. Can we go spout off unkind things to somebody and you still love us? Yes. But we can't do that and fulfill what the Scripture says by love. Serve one another, that's for sure. So, Lord, I pray that we would by love serve one another. And folks, let me ask if you'd join me in prayer. Lord, would you please continue to bless Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Lord, would you continue to give us a spirit of unity? Lord, would you not let somebody rise up and have a devilish attitude of superiority or anything like that, dear Lord? One that bites and devours. Dear Lord, would you keep us walking in the green, wonderful pastures of contentment and harmony? Please, I pray. I hope you prayed that with me and you take it as a matter of prayer, folks. And Lord, I pray that tonight, if there's anybody in this room that needs to back off on some of their verbiage, back off on some of their vitriol, maybe they get out and say things that they ought not. Lord, I pray that we would by love serve one another instead. Lord, we can't be surprised if we bite and devour one another that we don't get consumed eventually. But Lord, it would be a great and mighty thing if you'd help us to, in love, treat others like we'd want to be treated. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. If you're able to, would you stand together as our ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come, and you're welcome to come pray about anything. But maybe there's something specific on your heart that you just need to come and pray about. Then the altar is open for you. I invite you. This is the invitation time. As they continue to play and you pray, maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I didn't preach about that. I preached about loving one another, serving one another. But you've been having a nagging feeling in your heart, knowing that something's not right between you and the God of the universe. You're not sure that if something horrible would happen and you'd pass, that you'd go to heaven. You know, the Bible tells you all about that, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The reason you're worried about it is because you know you're a sinner. And Jesus died for your sins. He wants to forgive you and save you. If you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in the front of the pulpit that I preach from. I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. As they play another verse or two, then if God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Maybe there's some other need you have. Maybe you're saved, but you need to be baptized. We'd do it real soon if you'd like to come present yourself for that. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Invite you to come as well and present yourself for membership. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, what a joy to be in God's house, and I trust that the message tonight is just where we're at in that passage, and I have no reason to preach that unless it's just preventative medicine, because I believe that God's given us a sweet spirit here. But would you strive as I strive? Would you strive and pray to keep that? Because I've seen church work that isn't very godly, and we don't want that. Oh, have mercy, we don't want that. Like your mama used to tell you, just because you can say something doesn't mean you should say it. Some things better just keep to yourself. But appreciate you being in church on God's, being in church today on the Lord's Day. And thank you for being here to celebrate Mother's Day with us. If you're a lady 18 or over, there's a gift for you in the lobby on that table. Please help yourself to those. And then pray with me this week about next Sunday. We'll look forward to an 8:45 service and 11 o'clock service. You figure out which one works good for you. Reminder, the 8:45 doesn't have any child care or nursery. But there were families here today that had little ones and they just kept them with them. It worked out great. That worked good for their is a sweet time to see families with children just sitting there and enjoying it. And so it's a wonderful thing as well. But pray about that, those services, and we'll have a great time together. God bless you. Thank you so much for being in church. You're dismissed.